Prayer is the sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ. And one of the common discouragements in our Christian life is the accusation, perhaps even the feeling, that God does not answer all of our prayers, or even any of our prayers, that He does not hear the cries of His children. However, the Lord's people ought not to lay prayer aside on a mere feeling or temptation from others that God does not hear our cries.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we consider the truth of God together. If you have been listening to our programs, do get in touch with us. Let us know that you're listening. The email address is pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. That address will be repeated at the end of today's program. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the second part of a message entitled Thou That Hearest Prayer, taken from the Word of God in Psalm 65 and the verse 2. We rejoice as the Lord's people that we serve a God who hears the cries of His people. We do not serve the God of Baal, whose prophets opposed Elijah on Mount Carmel. Rather, we serve the living and true God, who answered by fire. May your heart be encouraged today as we consider Thou That Hearest Prayer. May the Lord richly bless His word to your soul.
I want you to note the meaning of the Hebrew word that is translated in verse 2 as hearest. It means to hear intelligently, often with the implication of attention, obedience. It means attentively, and there are many words used to describe this: diligently, discerning, giving an ear, listening, perceiving, obeying, understanding. Those words are involved here to give us a meaning. And so we find, O thou that hearest prayer, O thou that hearest intelligently the prayers of thy people. And there's an implication here that the hearing of our prayers by God is not merely a little noise that His ear picks up, the same way that we might hear a bang outside, or we might hear the noise of a lawnmower down the street, or maybe two people are walking past and they're talking, and we hear their voice, but we don't really hear their words. We don't make out what they're saying. We know two people are talking. We might know it's a man and a woman or two women. We may know that they're Canadian, not Irish, or not from any other country because of the accent. But maybe in regard to the words, we don't understand the words because they're walking past. They're talking to themselves. We hear a little, but we don't really know what they're talking about. This is not the definition of hearing prayer that we have here in Psalm 65, where God is upon the throne of heaven. He hears the prayers of His people, and some of those prayers are as if people are just passing in the street, and the words aren't understood, and the words aren't clear, and the meaning isn't there, and the petition isn't there. This is not what Psalm 65 verse 2 teaches. It is not what Scripture teaches regarding praying unto God. God hears intelligently. God hears our prayers. His ear is open unto His people. And so, believer, if you are discouraged at the place of prayer, if you're asking the question, does God hear me? Sometimes I feel like I'm there on Mount Carmel and I'm one of the false prophets praying unto Baal, and Baal isn't answering. Sometimes in my prayer life, I feel like that. Well, the doctrine of God encourages us, because the doctrine of God says that is not the case. God hears, and He hears intelligently. He knows the prayers of our hearts. And Israel knew throughout their history that God would hear. In Isaiah 37, it says, "Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see." They prayed for God to hear, knowing He was able to. And therefore, our lesson from this is very simple and clear. God accepts our supplications. He hears them. He understands them. He approves of us petitioning His throne of mercy. He is a God who shows agreement with our prayers as He answers them according to His will. He answers the prayers of His own children according to His will. Our hearts are often cast down through sickness and trials and despair. Maybe despair within our families. Maybe difficulties within the work of God. And we are to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord that we serve a God who hears our prayers. We do not come and pray in vain, but we come and pray to the living God of heaven, who is seated upon His throne with His ear inclined to His people. What an encouragement that is. And we are reminded of the psalmist's belief in God in Psalm 102. "Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily." He desired God to give a speedy answer to his cry. We know that God is a God who answers prayer, because we have that access to Him in prayer. But sometimes, and this is a cause for our discouragement, sometimes God does not answer when we think God should answer. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." We are to pray in the will of God. James and John cried down and prayed down fire from heaven, and they were rebuked. It was not according to the will of God. And this is something important for us to understand. We are to pray in light of the will of God. That is, often when we pray according to God's will. There are things that we can pray that are not according to the will of God. Sometimes our sinful lusts and desires can come into our prayer life, and we can pray for things that we desire and that we want that certainly are not in agreement to the will of God. And that is why, as we study the Scriptures and learn more of God, it shapes our prayer life. And it helps us to understand and to teach us how we are to pray in light of that great pattern of prayer that Christ gave His disciples. The Lord answers prayer according to His will. Sometimes that can be difficult. We need patience. We need grace. We need to understand that God hears the prayers of His people, that God answers according to His will. Sometimes He answers immediately. Sometimes there is a delay. When we think of the coming of the Messiah, Genesis chapter 3, the promise was given. Generation arose after generation. The flood came. The Exodus came. King David came and went. The prophets came and preached and prophesied and died. Israel and Judah were split into two kingdoms. The Babylonians came in. There was a period of exile. The temple was rebuilt. Time moved on. And then God answered, and the Messiah was sent. many, many, many hundreds of years later, God keeps His promises. The same is true of the coming of our Savior. When will He come again? Many will mock, as we see in Peter's epistle. But Christ is coming again, according to the will of God. And often we can pray, dear believer, you can pray. There can be burdens upon your heart and soul, and you pour them out to God. But in His will, there's a delay. There needs to be patience. Sometimes our prayers can be answered after we leave this scene of time and go home to be with the Lord. But let us be those who pray faithfully and those who pray without ceasing, looking unto the Lord to, according to His will, answer our cries. We're to pray in the Spirit. James 5 reminds us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thomas Boston said that no language is acceptable in heaven but that which is learned from above. It is not the act of prayer but the spirit of prayer that is pleasing in the sight of God. The former may be reached by God's enemies, whose false heart may vent itself by a flattering tongue, as Israel did. Psalm 78 reminds us, nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. We are to pray through the assistance of the Spirit of God. Our hearts are to be right with God. We're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray reverently. We're to approach God in the right manner, and we're to pray through Christ. Again, our prayers are offered through our Savior, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. One of the Puritans said that Christ is the altar on which our spiritual sacrifices can be accepted, and it is not consistent with the honor of God to hear the prayers of sinners otherwise. Christ is the altar on which our spiritual sacrifices can be accepted. And we pray through Christ. We pray through the sacrifice of Christ, His finished work for us. We come to God through our great high priest, our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to God, He's the one who hears our cries. Dear believer, be encouraged that our God hears prayer. Be encouraged that you pray through the Savior, whoever liveth to make intercession. But thirdly, we see an implied warning from our God. An implied warning from our God. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And the great declaration here reminds you and I of our need to pray. It reminds us of the great necessity of the believer to pray. And this desire to pray, this practice of prayer, should be found in all who are born of God and found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, Ananias was concerned about Saul of Tarsus. Was he truly a believer? He was wreaking havoc within the church of Christ. And he was told a change had come over him. He had to go and see him. And the Lord gave an evidence of the change and said, behold, he prayeth. And prayer marked that change within Saul's life, Paul's life. And prayer marks a change, true prayer marks a change between our old life of sin and being new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a sure sign that something had happened within his heart. And as we think of this encouragement to pray and this great title of God, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come, it implies a warning to us that we are not to neglect prayer. Oh, there are great encouragements to pray and to come before the Lord. And that is the expectation, dear believer, that God has of you, that you would be one who prays to Him. But prayer can be neglected. The door of mercy stands open, but there is no coming unto it. It is a sin to neglect prayer. Is that a sin that you and I are guilty of? Is that a sin that you were guilty of today? Neglecting the place of prayer. Coming to God's house without prayerful preparation. Each day, each evening, as you live your life, prayer is neglected. Oh, prayer is for the elders of the church. Prayer is for the pastor as he leads the services. Prayer is for the church prayer meeting. As long as everybody else is praying within the church, I don't have to. This text is a text to the people of God to be encouraged to pray. Thou that hearest prayer. And prayer is something that is personal to you in your spiritual walk with God. You need to be one who prays. You need to be one who prays. If only the leaders of the church prayed, then would there be any leaders of the church? Because one of the qualifications we could say are those who are godly, those who pray. And if nobody prays, how can we have leaders in the church? The prayer life of a church is dependent upon the personalities within the church, the individuals within a church. If a church is not a praying church, it is because the individuals within that church are not praying individuals. And therefore, there is something that is lacking in their spiritual walk with God. The early church was marked by what? Acts 1, they met, the apostles and others met and they prayed. Peter was in prison. What did they do? The church prayed. Acts chapter 4, whenever Peter and John were told not to preach anymore. Stop preaching. The message of Christ is not to go any further. What did the church do? They prayed. Prayer marks the people of God. Prayer marks the church of Christ. Prayer needs to mark you, dear believer. Examine yourself. Oh yes, what an encouraging text we have here. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Because God hears prayer, we are to pray to Him. And you may say, that is an encouraging text. That is something that thrills my heart, that my God hears prayer. Are you practicing the text? Are you coming to God in prayer? Are you using that access you have day by day to come to God to pray? For the good of your spiritual walk, dear believer, you need to be one who prays. In your home, setting an example in prayer to your children and to your family. It is a sin to neglect prayer. We also see the impiety or the ungodliness of abusing prayer. There are many who make a scorn of prayer and many who mock regarding prayer. Maybe you've been mocked and scorned for praying. And therefore, when it comes to prayer, you're not going to tell anybody. You're going to keep it to yourself because others have mocked it. But we see many abuse prayer in this world. The many who often say, God bless you, God help you, God pity you. And there's words that are prayer-like in their language, but they don't mean anything. They're just words. Words that are insincere. We can abuse prayer. We can pray for others to be judged, yet we can ignore ourselves. We can pray for things that we want and desire. We can pray against individuals instead of praying positively for them. Prayer can be abused. We need to be careful how we pray. There's a folly as well upon those who have no concern for their prayers being heard. Oh, I have to pray, and as long as I tick the box of prayer, all is well. Prayer is not a box to be ticked. Prayer is the sincere coming to God and bringing our petitions to Him. We need to have a sincerity of our hearts when it comes to prayer. Dear believer, do you desire to pray? Because we find that open access to prayer. Prayer glorifies God. Prayer is that which you bring your petitions to God. Prayer is that which is commanded of God's people. Prayer is not ticking a box and saying, I prayed today, therefore one of my daily routines in my Christian life is praying, and I've prayed. Just the same way you have a checklist. I do the dishes, I clear the table, I vacuum the floor, I prayed today. Aren't I good? Prayer is not something that ticks the box. It's something that should be sincere. And dear believer, is your prayer life sincere? Do you pray without ceasing? Do you pray to God constantly and daily, rejoicing that He is the one who hears prayer? And then finally, as we close, it is a vital comfort from our God. In all our trials, prayer is a comfort to us. In trials, we come to Him and we lay the burdens at His feet. We find that the throne of grace is welcoming. We find that though this world may close its door upon us, that the throne of grace is open to us. And this needs to be our constant experience, that in trials and difficulties and in the good times, we come continually to God because there is comfort from Him, because He is accessible. We can pray boldly, because prayer is not futile. It's not a waste of time. We're to pray faithfully. We're to come and to pray to God. Our dependence is upon Him. And we come humbly. Pride keeps people from praying. Pride seeks to gain comfort in life from yourself or from others, and not by humbling yourself before the God of heaven. Humility brings people to the throne of grace. And what a comfort it is that we can come in our trials knowing that we have a God who hears intelligently the prayers of His people. Dear believer, as we close today, let us ask ourselves about this text. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Is it a text that you practice? Is it a text that you believe, first of all? I think that should be the question. Do you believe what we have here? Do you believe that God is a God who hears prayer? And because of that, all flesh should come and pray to Him? Do you believe that God is upon the throne, inclining His ear to the cries of His people? Do you practice then? Do you outwork that text in your life? If God hears prayer, then I will pray to Him. I'll praise Him in my prayers. I'll rejoice in Him. I'll bring the burdens of my soul to Him. I'll lean on Him for help and strength day by day. I'll be humbly dependent upon Him. Oh, may we not just think, oh, what a nice text this is, but may we think upon the truth that's here. May we practice it. Oh, unbeliever, as we close, we have a God who answers prayer. He answers the cries of a sinner coming to Him, a sinner who needs pardon. Verse 3 tells us, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. We have a God who pardons sin. If you come to Him and cry to Him, He hears the cries of the sinner. He can purge you from your sins. May you know the Savior. May you rejoice that God is a God who hears the prayers of His people. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse 14. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let us not imagine that the soul sleeps in insensibility. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to him who washed them from their sins in his blood. The body sleeps in its lonely bed of earth, beneath the coverlet of grass. But what is this sleep? The idea connected with sleep is rest, and that is the thought which the Spirit of God would convey to us. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. Sleep shuts off fast the door of the soul, and bids all intruders tarry for a while, that the life within may enter its summer garden of ease. The toil-worn believer quietly sleeps, as does the weary child when it slumbers on its mother's breast. Oh, happy they who die in the Lord! They rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. Their quiet repose shall never be broken until God shall rouse them to give them their full reward. Guarded by angel watchers, curtained by eternal mysteries, they sleep on, the inheritors of glory, till the fullness of time shall bring the fullness of redemption. What an awakening shall be theirs! They were led in their last resting place, weary and worn, but such they shall not rise. They went to the rest with the furrowed brow and the wasted features, but they wake up in beauty and glory. The shriveled seed, so destitute of form and comeliness, rises from the dust a beauteous flower. The winter of the grave gives way to the spring of redemption and the summer of glory. Blessed is death, since it, through the divine power, disrobes us off this workday garment to clothe us with the wedding garment of incorruption. Blessed are those who sleep in Jesus. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining us here on Let the Bible Speak. And may the Lord richly bless you. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.